Hello and welcome to another edition of the Essex by the Sea podcast. I'm Owen Ward and I'll be exploring the coast of Essex throughout this series, finding out about and hearing the amazing stories from this diverse part of the world. Before meeting my guest, I'd really appreciate it if you would subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many other places as well. And don't forget to tell your friends about Essex by the Sea and encourage them to subscribe too. Now, as the podcast is exploring the Essex coast, one person kind of has beaten us to it. Chris Howard is actually walking the entire Essex coast, all 350 miles of it, and he's not stopping there because he's actually walking the whole coastline of the UK. I'm pleased to say that I've caught up with Chris in the lovely, delightful Brightlin Sea on a gloriously sunny afternoon. Chris, how are you feeling?
Pretty good, warm. I've had a long walk this morning from Frinton. Feel pretty good though. I've had a really kind offer from a lady here who's given me the chalet for the night, and I'm feeling pretty good. Essex has been great. I've been into Essex now for a day and a half, I suppose, so it's my third county. Very excited.
Now, you're walking the entire coastline of the UK, not just here in Essex. What way are you going around the UK?
So I'm heading clockwise. I've started in Heacham, Norfolk, near King's Lynn. I'm going clockwise so that I don't end up in Scotland at the beginning of winter. In theory, I should get to Scotland now, roughly springtime, depending on how fast I go. I'm about 4 days ahead of myself at the moment, which is really good going. I've had to try and sort of bear with the heat and think about different things and reassess my routes and things like that, but I'm still ahead. And I know tomorrow is going to be the hottest day so far, so I'll see if that slows me down or not.
I suppose the question is, why are you punish yourself so much at doing this epic challenge?
Yeah, a lot of people ask that. it's an interesting one. During lockdown, I watched my own children and friends of theirs suffer a bit, not being in school and not being able to see their friends, and it got me thinking about my own childhood and what I'd be able to do and what I didn't have, the things that they had and things like that. And they're really lucky, they've got a garden, they could learn to ride their bikes in and things. But I realised that there are a lot of children that are less fortunate, and it just got me thinking about that. And I wanted to do something positive out of a very negative situation, really. So doing something for children in need is a really good way of helping lots of groups of people rather than just one niche area.
Children in Need is a charity that does help a lot of young people, of course, across the country. Other than that reason, is there any other reason you've picked that particular charity?
Just the things that they've done, and the things that they've been doing during lockdown haven't changed, despite having less staff and, you know, with the furlough scheme, and despite having less funds coming in than normal. They've maintained all the things that they needed to maintain. They've really helped people all the way through, and it's about the transparency for me as well. They're a charity where 95 pence in every single pound goes directly to the cause. Now, I don't think there are many charities that can actually say that, and I think that's really incredible.
Now, just thinking about the route that you're taking around Essex, 350 miles of coastline just here in our fine county, lots of inlets and rivers and estuaries to navigate round. At what point did you join the Essex coastline from Suffolk?
The funny thing is, I don't really know where the borders stop and start. I came on the foot ferry from Felixstowe, having spent a few days in Woodbridge doing the estuaries and inlets there. So I did the Deben, I did the Orwell and the Stour, and then I came from Woodbridge down to Felixstowe, got the foot ferry to Harwich, and then I walked all the way along, and I think I came through Little Oakley all the way to Frinton. I can't remember how many miles that is that I probably crossed it. Although Manningtree in Essex?
It is, yeah, and I think Manningtree actually is right on the border with the river there. So Manningtree and Harwich and Dovercourt, and then along the Tendring coast, Frinton, Clacton, Jaywick, and then here today in Brightlin Sea. What's been your experience so far of that stretch of your journey?
Really positive. People are friendly. I've really enjoyed it. I didn't even realise I was in Frinton. I headed straight to Walton-on-the-Naze, to be honest, and I got there and I looked around and I couldn't see very much particularly, so I thought, oh, I'll just walk along the front then and get straight onto Frinton. And actually, by the time I stopped again to have a bit of water and get into the shade, I walked off the beach and I checked my map and I realised I was actually halfway past Frinton. because you don't realise that you're actually in Frinton. It's such a quick transition from Morton to Frinton. I actually really enjoyed getting to Jaywick this morning and seeing the sands there. I thought it was a beautiful beach. I didn't spend long in Jaywick because there's not really much there to see apart from the beach. And then I came in via road on the Jaywick Lane all the way to Point Clear.
It is a wonderful stretch. Essex Sunshine Coast is how some would describe it, and it's certainly living up to that name today here in Brightlingsea. So after today, you've got quite a trek tomorrow, aiming for Maldon.
I'm aiming for Maldon tomorrow. I don't exactly know how I'm going to do it at the moment, because most people are asking me, how have you planned this year-long trip, you know, in terms of expedition and navigation? How do you do the logistics? How do you work out the navigation from day to day, blah blah blah? Is it all planned out and laid out ready for you? Well, no, it's not. I spend most of my evening trying to work out a route, trying to figure out the best way that I can do things, but I have to be a bit flexible given the heat and the sun the way it is today. It's going to be a lot worse tomorrow, and if I then just go all the way along the beach and there's no shade for 12 hours, for example, it doesn't matter how much water I take on, it's not going to do me any favours. So my plan tomorrow is to leave Brightlingsea Harbour and get the foot ferry to Mercy Island, walk across Mercy Island, and I never really intended to go to Mercy Island, but it seems like a good way to get back onto mainland if I can get across to the mainland the other side, and then I should be able to walk through the fields and the footpaths all the way up to Maldon. I think that's about 24 odd miles in total.
That itself is quite a trek on its own, on top of obviously what you've already walked so far. And then, of course, beyond that, Maldon, you're on to Burnham and then Shoebury and Southend along the sort of Thames estuary. At what point then are you planning on leaving Essex? I mean, obviously Essex goes all the way into London and the Thames sort of halfway across the country. Are you planning to walk all the way around that?
I'm not planning to walk all the way around the Thames. It's too far inland. I mean, it's so far inland, it goes back to the coast on the other side of the country. So I am going to cross out of Essex on the Tilbury Docks Foot Ferry into Gravesend, which will be Kent, and that'll be my fourth county, and then I'll sort of basically turn sharp left and head out towards Sheerness, and then down that North Kent coast until I get to that little kick-out bit of the heel of the country, and onto the south coast. So once I get to sort of Dover and Hastings, I really feel like it's probably a pretty straight line all the way to Land's End.
Along that south coast, yeah, I suppose it is, isn't it, actually, all the way down to the tip of Cornwall. You mentioned about being in Scotland in the sort of bleak midwinter, and actually you're thinking now sort of springtime potentially for Scotland. How long is it actually going to take you?
So the whole trip, really, I estimate will be a year. I'd be optimistic in thinking that I could do it in less than a year. I think most of the coastline so far and my journey has been relatively easy and straightforward. You know, I've done nearly 300 miles in 10, 11 days. So it's pretty good going, and that's been in heat. I know it's going to get warmer, but it won't get much warmer than tomorrow, I don't think. You know, I don't think we're ever going to experience things like 38, 39 degrees. So my days are getting shorter, but that just means I can walk a bit longer because it's cooler. I generally set off between 5 and 6 in the morning, so I make the best of that cool weather, and I normally get to a town when everything's closing, and it often feels like I arrive and everybody shuts down because there's a bad smell coming in, you know. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it feels like that, especially at seaside towns. So a year it's going to take me, I think. However, I am allowing a bit of contingency on the basis that there is a large percentage, much larger percentage than people realise, of coastline in Scotland than any of the rest of the country put together. That whole northwest coast is so jagged, and yeah, it's going to be a real challenge.
Yeah, I suspect once you get there, it will put our little estuaries into perspective somewhat with the Scottish coastline. So a year away, you've mentioned to me off recording about family at home and keeping in touch with them. What do they think of the idea? Do they think it's absolutely bonkers?
Yeah, I mean, they know me well enough to know that I was going to do something a bit crazy. I've done other crazy things before, so that most of them are fairly used to it. My children see it as a bit of an adventure for themselves, and I hope they continue to see it that way. They're quite young. My wife's really supportive. She's been amazing, actually, and every day I try to talk to them all, but I haven't had great connection recently, and so some days I go without speaking to them, and that's kind of heart-wrenching. But on the days I can get connection and speak to them, you know, I'm able to FaceTime them or have video chats with them. I can text all the time, things like that. I actually recorded a load of videos for the children of me reading bedtime stories, so they've always got those at home to watch through as well. It is hard, and it's probably the hardest bit for me at the moment, although I'm saying that sat here with blue skies and sunshine all around me on the seaside. In a few months' time, I'll be thinking exactly the same thing. It's really hard missing my children, but the weather will have completely changed, and it'll be cold all the time. I'll be wet, and I often won't know where I'm staying. Day to day, I don't know where I'm staying, and I'm relying on the kindness of strangers to help me out along the route, really. And I've been lucky so far. I don't have somewhere to stay every night, but tonight I'm really lucky that someone's offered me a chalet that they're not using. And it's even got a bath, which means I can soak my legs for once and get them back to fighting fit, I think.
I was going to say, the accommodation you've got here, I guess compared to some nights that you're going to experience, it's five-star luxury here in Brightlingsea. How can people support you then? I've seen you've got sort of fundraising pages and some ingenious ways people can support you there.
Yeah, that's right. So there's various social media pages and things like that, and the Just Giving page, but everything is linked through my website. I just thought it'd be good to have a central place for people to go to, and that's just www.thecoastwalker.com. There's a Just Giving link there, so that goes straight to the charity. There's also an email box that they can get straight in touch with me if they can offer any help or food along the way, or if they know someone further down the coast that could put me up, maybe, even if it's putting me up in the garden or in a barn or a shed or something. There's also a Buy Me a Coffee button, which will help continue my journey. I have very few funds to do this, and as I say, I'm relying on the kindness of strangers. And people have often asked me, how can we help you? We, of course, will donate to the charity, but how can we help you get round? And so we set this thing up called Buy Me a Coffee, and I'd never heard of it really, but it's actually really good. So people could just pay that straight over into me, whichever amount of money they like, and that will help me get fed or watered during the day.
What's the website address for people to look for it?
It's www.coastwalker.com. All my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and YouTube is linked on there. Having a few tech issues with my YouTube and with the map. The map's supposed to update all the time so people can track me, but what I'm doing instead at the moment is every Friday I'm plotting my GPS route and taking a screenshot of that route from my GPS and then putting it on Facebook for people to see until I get the map sorted.
Well, Chris, we won't hold you up any longer. Let you go and get that nice soak in the bath here in Brightlingsea. Thank you for joining us on Essex by the Sea podcast. We wish you all the very best for the rest of the journey, particularly here in Essex, but also the rest of the coast as well.
No worries. Thanks very much, Owen.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast and want to hear more stories from the Essex coast, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in the same place you found this episode. And an episode would land on the 1st and 15th of each month, so make sure you don't miss it. We're also across social media, so follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Essex by the Sea and like our page on Facebook. Next time on Essex by the Sea.
High streets are going through a very difficult time at the moment. They've been through these times before where they've reinvented themselves, and we want to do the same with South Church.
I hope you can join me for that. Until then, thanks for listening.